Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another. And our motto comes from James chapter 5 verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray for you and with you. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we're here to take your prayer requests at any time from 6 to 7 p.m. Amen. Now at this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. And at 7 p.m., our very own First Lady Nadine will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. So if you want to join us or participate and give us your thoughts or comments of what the writer is conveying, please call in at 7 p.m. and join in our Bible class for this evening. Amen. So at this time, Holy Spirit, you are come here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is
Amen. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. Whatever God puts on your heart to call in prayer for, we are here to pray with you, right beside you. And whatever you need prayer for, we are here. Our call-in number is 319-527-6204. Call in your prayer requests at this time. In the meantime, I will play another selection while we're waiting.
Praise. He looks like you. What will Jesus do?
Praise be to God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray for from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. And we pray with you and beside you and whatever it is that God puts on your heart to pray for. Could be for a family member, a friend, a neighbor, or even an enemy. God, we are here to pray with you and for you. So all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. And at 7 p.m., our First Lady Nadine will come with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you want to join us and participate in our Bible studies this evening, again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And you're listening to Pray One for Another. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations. But there one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair.
Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet. Cast your cares on him, he'll supply all your needs.
Friends and family, they can walk away.
But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day.
He loves and cares for you and he will see you through.
You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, he will stand.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. God wipe my slate clean from my mind. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
Bye.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, which woke us up this morning and keeps us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, works, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. And may you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that's all you have to do is to call in your prayer request at this time. We are here to pray with you, right along beside you. And whatever it is that God puts in your heart to pray for, we are here to help you. Amen. To God be the glory. Because right now, every praise belongs to God.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God. your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Amen. Father, right now, for all you have done for me and for all you are doing, are going to do in the future, I thank you for all things right now. Father, I want to thank you for life. I want to thank you for health. I want to thank you for strength to make it through difficult times. I thank you for my past and present, and also for a great future that is ahead of me. You know what I need before I ask for it. I thank you, Father, for allowing your will to be done in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that's all you have to do is to call in your prayer requests at this time. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'd like to play another selection. Fill Me Up by Cassie. Amen. Hope you enjoyed this inspirational music. And God bless you. And thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another. Praise be to God.
love of God, overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul, all my soul is yours, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
Amen. Praise be to God. Our daily bread for this evening is entitled A Strong Heart. And the scripture reading is coming from Psalm 73, verses 21 through 28. And I'm reading from the NASB Bible where it says, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me. And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and beside you? I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of your works. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Psalm 73 and 26, and it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Again, the title is A Strong Heart. And the writer says, in his book, Fully and Wonderfully Made, co-author with Philip Yancey, Dr. Paul Brand observed, a hummingbird heart weighs a fraction of an ounce and beats 800 times a minute. A blue whale's heart weighs half a ton, beats only 10 times per minute. and can be heard 2 miles away. In contrast to Ida, the human heart seems dully functional. Yet it does its job, beating 100,000 times a day, 65 to 70 times a minute, with no time off for rest, to get most of us through 70 years or more. The amazing heart so thoroughly powers us through life that it has become a metaphor for our overall inner well-being. Yet both our literal and metaphorical hearts are prone to failure. What can we do? The psalmist Asaph, a worship leader of Israel, acknowledged in Psalm 73 that true strength comes from somewhere, someone else. He wrote, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Asaph was right. The living God is our ultimate and eternal strength. As the maker of heaven and earth, he knows no such limitations to his perfect power. In our times of difficulty and challenge, may we discover what Asaph learned through his own struggles. God is the true strength of our hearts. We can rest in that strength every day. Amen. Praise be to God. Question: how is your metaphorical heart like your spiritual heart? When you feel like you're losing heart, how can you find strength in your loving, caring Father? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we're weak, you are strong. That when we're overwhelmed, you are enough. That when we're confused, you have perfect clarity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. And all you have to do is call in your prayer request at this time. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. To God be the glory for his glory.
lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room?
Amen. Praise be to God. I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now we're going into our Bible study with our very own Lady Nadine, who's going to come with Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening? Aw, we just lost her. Okay, so we'll wait till she gets back in. Praise be to God. God bless you, Jake. How are you this evening?
Well. I did my homework, so.
You did?
I was given
what homework
assignment last week.
What was it?
Well, I had to say who the 12 tribes of Judah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And what was special about Judah, stuff like that. Stuff
yes.
that, you know.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. I forgot. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening?
Oh, doing great.
Oh,
doing
good.
Great.
We didn't lose you this time.
How's everybody else doing?
Blessed, thank you.
Can't
thank
complain.
You. Great. Who's on the line?
Just myself and Jake and you right now.
Oh, okay. Okay,
well,
cool.
I don't know about Mother and Sister Barbara. I guess they're...
Yeah, I gave Mother a call,
mm-hmm.
And it went to voicemail, so...
As usual.
Yeah, so I don't know. But anyway, mm-hmm. we had some a homework assignment.
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you open us up in prayer, and then we'll get to it.
You being...
You.
You being me, okay.
Yes, Jake.
Oh, Father God, we love you so much. I love you so much.
Yeah, you look like
I've been... I've been dogged all day for a couple of days, and I just praise you for getting me out of that mindset. So bless this Bible study tonight. Bless those who are participating. Bless those who are on their way to participate.
Yes, Lord.
Give traveling mercies to those who require them. And, continue to guide us through this journey here on earth. So we thank you for tonight, which is a night we haven't seen before. And bless this Bible study again. In the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So we sort of went back to the beginning, the foundation, and we were talking about the 12 tribes. And the question was, what was the question?
Israel, what's the difference between Israel and Judah?
Mm-hmm.
And then what made Judah so special?
Right. Amen. Sister Barbara on?
Yes.
Yes, good evening. How's everyone?
Blessed,
good
thank
evening.
You.
Good evening. Good evening.
And you?
How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. Thank you for asking.
Great.
I'm feeling better now. It's as I was praying, I've been dogged by real feeling of negativity the past few days, and just I'm just glad that it's not permanent, and that I just put it in the hands of the Lord. But anyway. Too much information. But the good news is that, you know, God is great. God is awesome. And I love
all the
God,
time.
So, yeah.
And he loves you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus loves you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. So are you going to... So that question was for both Hilda and Jake. They would answer first, and then Sister Barbara will answer after.
And I just want to reiterate the question.
Yes, go ahead.
Why was Judah so special in the days when Israel was taken into captivity?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And who wants to go first? Who wants to go first with that answer?
I'll go.
Okay.
All right. So I found a lot of things that made Judah special, and one of them is that the group of Levites were descended from the tribe of Judah, and that they were the most powerful and important tribe at that time, and later on they did produce great kings like David and Solomon, and Jesus was prophesied that Jesus would come from Judah, so, and that's what I came up with.
Okay. Hilda?
I didn't do it because I was more focused on the other one that we were talking about on Wednesday. I forgot about the one on Tuesday, but like Jake said, that, you know, Judah was special because they were from, you know, the 12, the tribe of Israel, I think, I'm not sure, but they, it was the tribe of Jacob, and so I can't say.
But there was tribes of Jacob in the north too.
In the north, well, the north was
Jacob
the 12,
is Israel. Remember,
right? Was the 12
and
tribes of
all
Israel,
12 tribes came
right.
from Jacob,
right?
Including
and,
the Levites.
Well, I ain't focused on the Levites. I just and I know that Judah was the two in the south because they came. Was the two that made up the 12 tribes. There was 10, and then Judah 2 made up the 12.
and the two of them was Manasseh and Ephraim, something like that.
Okay. So, but what made Judah special?
I don't know what made them special because I didn't do it. So I didn't research it. So that's why. Whatever Jake said.
Okay. Well, I want to say whether we researched it or not, we definitely talked about Judah. Okay, so now Sister Barbara.
Okay, I have a lengthy answer. And it says, in 722 BCE, which is the Common Era, the Assyrians under Sargon II, successor to Shalmaneser V, conquered the kingdom of Israel. 20 kings ruled Judah from the time of the separation into two kingdoms until Judah fell to the Babylonians, but only a few kings were righteous. These few righteous kings may have been the reason Judah lasted 100 years longer than the northern kingdom of Israel. The reason that they lasted or were so special is because they were more righteous. Judah was governed by King Hezekiah, who, as the scripture states, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, 2 Kings 18, verse 3. At the death of this good and righteous king, Judah forgot their miraculous deliverance, and the nation began to move inevitably toward captivity of their own. Hezekiah's 12-year-old son, Manasseh, was placed on the throne. He again built the high places that Hezekiah had torn down, made a grove, and set up a graven image of it. Manasseh used enchantment and dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. The people followed him, and they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before, the children of Israel. 2 Kings 21 and 9. That's what I got.
Okay, thank you. So
welcome.
All of that is true, but... the answer is, well, everything that you said, everything that Sister Barbara said is true. But what made Judah so special is because of David. Because David was, God said David was a man after his own heart. And what did God promise David?
Peace.
No, he didn't promise David peace.
That was Solomon, King Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
That there would be a king on the throne from his lineage forever.
Exactly. A king on the throne from his lineages forever. And God kept that promise, regardless of the fact that the king, like you said, 12 of them were evil and 8 of them were great. And because, like Sister Barbara said, because he had 8 great kings is why it took another 150 so years for Judah to be taken over by Babylon. You know, but in the meantime, you know, God said that there would always be a king that would come from Judah, right? And from King David. And because Judah is so special, it's because who was the ultimate king from that lineage?
Jesus.
Exactly. Because Jesus, and it took, you know, after the last king, who I think was Jehoiakim or whatever, I think under him, is when they took on the Babylon. You know, it was like at least, I'm not sure about the years, but I think it took about 400 years before they ever had another king. But God kept his promise, and God gave them the ultimate king of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what makes Judas special.
There was no more king.
Well, Jesus was the ultimate king.
Right. Yeah, that's what I
said. Right?
There's
no need for no other king because Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Yes.
So when you hear Judah, David, the lineage of Jesus is what makes Judah special out of all of the other tribes, because God said that David, in spite of everything that David did, David loved God with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his mind. And because he loved and trusted God so much, you know, he won every war that he went to because he followed God's exactly, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, we know David wasn't perfect and we know what David did. But the fact is that God loved him so much that he told him that there would be a line of kings that would come. That was his Davidic, that was the Davidic covenant that God made with David from the land of Judah. So so that is what makes Judah special. And you know, so and Brother Jake, there was Levites. Levites was a tribe, and there was Levites in the north, and there was Levites in the south, and the Levites was just as corrupt. You know, the priests, they were the priests, right? They were just as corrupt as the people. Because when Manasseh, I mean, basically they couldn't do anything, but I think that they were just as corrupt. Because to allow, I mean, Manasseh, because he was king, you know, he built all kind of altars right in the temple. Not outside and around the temple, but he defiled the temple in Jerusalem by putting his altars, you know, in the temple where the priests were. And remember, all the priests come from the tribe of Levi. So so he did that, Manasseh. And in addition to that, so we have Hezekiah, who was after God's own heart. He was so loyal to the Lord. And then after Hezekiah, he had this evil son, as Sister Barbara said, Manasseh. He was as evil as they come. He's the one that would burn the children and do the sacrifice to children in the temple of God, the temple that Solomon built. He would burn children. And then following him was his son Amos. You know, Amon. His son Amon, you know, did the same thing. He followed in his father's footsteps. But Amon had a righteous son, so the next righteous one was Josiah. Remember Josiah, the 8-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah, so he got rid of all his grandfather and fathers, all of those monuments out of the temple. You know, because remember when he found the scroll with the laws of the Lord. Remember, he bowed down. He's like, all of this time. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was saying the secretary found the scroll shaping.
Yeah, the secretary found the scroll. But when he read the scrolls, you know, they read it to him. You know, he ripped off his clothes, you know, and he bowed down to, he was just so angry that, you know, that everybody, you know, that people weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And he reinstituted it, you know. He actually reinstituted the Passover. They hadn't even been practicing Passover, you know, and he reinstituted
they didn't know
all of
that. They didn't have the scripture, so they didn't know what the laws were.
Right.
They didn't have the
scripture because it was hidden. The whole temple was falling apart, you know, but that was the purpose for them going in there to try to rebuild the temple, right? And in all of that rubbish, they found, they found the scriptures. But it was too late. it was too late. Because God still said, you know, I'm going to destroy you. Because whether they found those scrolls or not, they knew what the Ten Commandments were. I mean, from generation to generation. And what was the very, I think it's the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Amen.
And that's what they were doing. Thou shalt not, you know, worship idols. And they were doing everything that God said not to do. So he was ready. He took as much as he could from them, and he said that you're going to be destroyed. But he promised Josiah that Josiah will have a peaceful death, even though it was, you know, he wouldn't have to go through what they all went through: hunger, starving, eating their babies, you know, because it was no food, because God caused all of that to happen. That was the punishment. But he allowed Josiah to die before that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Hi, Mother.
I mean, when you...
Hi.
Hey.
Good evening.
How are you this evening?
Blessed. How you doing? How are you doing?
Oh.
Thank you for joining us. Amen. And so
the other thing that's also interesting is that, you know, by the time you get into and this is just also to show you how important Judah was, because First Chronicles and Second Chronicles, I mean, when you get into you know, Second Kings and also First Chronicles and Second Chronicles, they ain't even talking about the north anymore, the northern kingdom. Those following from Second Kings to First and Second Chronicles, you know what happened with the Chronicles? You know, Ezra, who was a great priest, you know, he wrote that and was encouraging people. But after First Kings and all of those prophets died, then you have, then you see the attention, the whole attention of the Bible, and the next verse or scriptures turned strictly to Judah. Now, somebody had told me, and I can't wait to listen to it tonight, so I'm going to give this to you guys, and y'all should write it down. This is a... oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm gonna go through it today. But this is, you go to YouTube and you look up a man named Alexander Scorby. Last name is spelled S-C-O-U-R-B-Y. And he... everybody's like, you know, well, the person who was told me, you know, they just like raving about him, because when he tells, he narrates the Bible, right? And he narrates, you know, First Kings. So right now we're focusing in my other class, we're focusing on First Kings. So he narrates it. But everybody says that the way his voice is, like he does it with such, you know, with such, emphasis, and you know that he puts like, oh, he's not like, you know, because some of the narratives can be, you know, they just like, and blah 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 blah. They say he is not boring at all. You just get all into the story, and he does it with such emotions that you feel like you're living right there with, you know, as these things are happening. So if you go to YouTube, you put in his, I put in, because just, I mean, just to be able to go through Kings, because Kings, to read Kings, I mean, you can read Kings, but, I mean, to hear it, you know, it's just, like, remarkable the way he describes it, and that's what was said to me, so I can't wait. I'm going to listen to this tonight, because, yeah, we're doing Kings, too. Okay.
And I just want to say that there was no tribe of Levi. There was no tribe of Joseph, and there was no tribe of Levi.
Right. There was that, meaning there wasn't a tribe of Joseph, but there was a tribe of Levites. They just was not given land. The Levites as a tribe were, they either were priests or they were, you know, they worked in the temple. And they didn't have land. So what they lived off of basically was tithes and offerings that the people gave after the sacrifice of the lamb and the sacrifice, whatever,
right.
The sacrifice of the animals, the rest of the animals became their meal. So they didn't have land to grow, but they were supported, you might as well say, you know, by the Israelites.
Okay, but again, they didn't have a tribe. They were just the priests. There was no tribe for Joseph, and there was no tribe for Levi.
Right, but the difference between Joseph is Joseph's reign ended when he died, right? He had two sons that were given a tribe.
His sons,
but the Levites, his two sons was given a tribe. But the Levites as a group, you know, I mean, you may not want to call them a tribe,
they had no tribe.
So what? Huh?
They had no tribe. There's no Levite tribe.
You know, they were called Levite tribe, but they were.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They
were not a tribe. They were priests, and they had no tribe. Out of all the tribes, they were not considered a tribe.
Okay.
Of the two sons of Jacob, Joseph and Levi did not have a tribe. Joseph, his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, had tribes. There was nothing in Joseph's name. And Levi had no tribe. Those were the priests.
Okay, so now we're moving on to the minor prophets. It's the introduction to the minor prophets that we're moving on to. So we're going to read an overall view about them, and then we'll get into the first minor prophet was Hosea. But before we do Hosea, we're going to just get an overview of this chapter. So while the 17 prophetic books of the Old Testament are the dark continent of the scriptures, people are even more unfamiliar with the 12 minor prophets as a whole than they are with the 5 major prophets. These 12 books became known as the minor prophets late in the 4th century AD, not because they were considered less important or less inspired, but because they are generally shorter than the 5 major prophets, especially books like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Their messages are more succinct than those of the major prophets, but they are just as powerful. Before the time of Christ, these 12 books were joined together to make one scroll known collectively as the 12. Their combined length, which is 67 chapters, is about equal to that of Isaiah. The only chronological significance of the order of the minor prophets in the English Bible is that the first 6 were written before the last 6. So they'll give you the canonical order how you see it in the Bible, and then there's also a chronological order, you know, but and it's sort of like, the canonical order is different from the chronological order. The chronological order goes according to the year, you know, that these minor prophets sent their prophetic message. So according to the Bible, we see Hosea, then we see Joel, we see Amos, we see Obadiah, we see Jonah, we see Micah, we see Nahum, we see Habakkuk, we see Zephaniah, we see Haggai, and we see Zechariah and Malachi. Now, chronologically, Obadiah is first. He prophesied in 840, and then you have Joel, 835, Jonah, 760, Amos, 755, Hosea, 740, Micah, 730, Nahum, 660, Zephaniah, 625, Habakkuk, 607, Haggai, 520, Zechariah, 515, and the last one was Malachi, that's in 430. So the minor prophets from Obadiah to Malachi covers a 400-year span in history, moving through the Assyrian, Babylonian, and Persian empires. Three were prophets to the northern kingdom, and that was Jonah, Amos, and Hosea. And six were prophets to the southern kingdom, which was Obadiah, Joel, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. The three were post-exilic prophets. What does that mean? Post-exilic prophets.
After the exile.
Right. So three were post-exilic prophets, and that was Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And although all the minor prophets are named, very little is known about most of them. Their backgrounds and personalities are quite diverse. But the four basic prophetic themes are found in all of them. And we'll see that as we go through each one. There's a little blurb about each one of them. So Hosea, the unhappy story of Hosea and his faithless wife, Gomer, illustrated the loyal love God and the spiritual adultery of Israel. Hosea exposed the sins of Israel and contrast them to God's holiness. The nation must be judged for its sins, but it will be restored in the future because of the love and faithfulness of God. And Hosea is in 740, yeah. So, and then we have Joel. So this gives a little synopsis of all of them that we're going to read about. But as we read through it, it will also give us what each one, you know, gives you an introduction about them. So we'll go on to Hosea. And Hosea is called by God to prophesy during Israel's last hours, just as Jeremiah would be called years later to prophesy to the crumbling kingdom of Judah. Hosea's personal tragedy becomes an intense illustration of Israel's national tragedy. It is a story of one-sided to love and faithfulness between a prophet and his faithless wife, Hosea and Gomer, and Jehovah and his faithless people. Just as Gomer is married to Hosea, Israel is betrothed to God. In both cases, the bride plays the harlot and runs after other lovers, but unconditional love keeps seeking even when it is spurned. In Hosea's case, that means buying back his wife from the slave market. For Israel, it means purifying punishment followed by restoration to the land of promise. So the first part of Hosea is the it's called "And the Faithful Husband," and it's the marriage of Hosea, and it's personal. And so we see the prophetic marriage. We see the application of Gomer to Israel, and to Israel. We see the restoration of Gomer, and then we see the contrast, or the similarity is really not a contrast. We see the similarities of the spiritual adultery of Israel, the refusal of Israel to repent, the judgment of Israel by God, and the restoration of Israel to God. So, and this Hosea prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel. And he did that between the years of 755 and 710 BC. So, in the, I'll read a little bit of this, but the introduction and the title. So Hosea, whose name means salvation, ministers to the northern kingdom of Israel, also called Ephraim, after its largest tribe. So in the northern kingdom of Israel, the largest tribe is Ephraim. And who is Ephraim?
Ephraim
is
one of
one of the sons of Joseph?
Thank you, Hilda. Don't say "is it." Please,
okay.
Say that in a different way.
Okay, he's Ephraim is one of the sons of Joseph.
Thank you. Absolutely. So, so outwardly, the nation is enjoying a time of prosperity and growth. But inwardly, moral corruption and spiritual adultery permeate the people. Hosea, instructed by God to marry a woman named Gomer, finds his domestic life to be an accurate and tragic dramatization of the unfaithfulness of God's people. During his half century of prophetic ministry, Hosea repeatedly echoes his threefold message. God abhors the sins of his people. Judgment is certain, but God's loyal love stands firm. The name Hosea, Joshua, and Jesus are all derived from the same Hebrew root, the word Hosea, meaning salvation. But Joshua and Jesus included an additional idea. Yahweh is salvation. So the introduction and title in Joshua is it means Yahweh is salvation. As God's messenger, Hosea offers the possibility of salvation is only the nation, and if only the nation will turn from idolatry back to God. And so let's look at why we have this depiction of the Israelites, as an adulteress to God. So turn to, hold on a minute. Let us turn to let me find it. Exodus verse 20. Exodus chapter 20. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to read, I think it's 2 to 6. Let's see. Exodus. Yeah, let's read from 3, 4, 5. And 6. Mother, can you read that, please? Exodus 3 to 6.
Okay. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other God. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Amen.
Right. And that's spiritual adultery, because they did the exact opposite. Why would that be? What makes it spiritual adultery?
Because they didn't follow God's command, they would turn into other gods. They didn't give God the affection. They had affection for other gods.
Right. So yeah, I mean, that's like a slap in the face.
Sure is.
That's a slap in the face to God, you know. And come on, it's not that they didn't know. And how many times, and this is another thing I guess we have to just, how many times were the Israelites given the Ten Commandments?
At least twice.
That's like a little trivia question.
Twice.
Huh?
Twice.
Okay. When was the second time? When did they get it the second time?
The second time when they were in the wilderness, when Moses came down off the mountain and saw them worshiping the golden calf,
mm-hmm.
and then when he went, God caused him to carve it. He carved it the first time, God,
mm-hmm.
and then the second he had Moses carve it. He gave him the stone tablets, but he had Moses carve it.
Mm-hmm. Right, because Moses did what with it?
He broke it. He dropped it.
Why? Why did he break it?
Because the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf in his absence.
Mm-hmm.
When he went up Mount Sinai, he took too long. He stayed up there a while.
Yeah.
Wanted something that they could see and worship. So they melted their earrings and all gold kind of, you know, jewelry and whatnot. And they, with Aaron, golden calf, and worship. And it was blasphemy.
Right.
Just came down.
Yes.
Was upset to say that he's a God doing what God says, and he's planning a party.
Mm-hmm. It's like ridiculous. It's like, you know, I think that happens. You know, God just split the Red Sea. He just took you out of Egypt. Just opened up the Red Sea, and you've seen these miracles, and because Moses goes up to speak to God, you get so impatient that you decide to make burn up, and then Aaron, who's supposed to be his right-hand man, he go right along with them and burns up the gold.
If you was in Aaron's place, what would you do if all these people come up against you? Would you not
listen?
Get weak and give in?
Well, that happens to us every day, right?
Absolutely.
Because I'm just saying, as Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're persecuted.
Yes.
You know, we get persecuted, and do
Absolutely.
We just give in? A lot
no.
of times we do,
yep.
right?
Sometimes,
and sometimes the pressure gets really, really hard. And if you give in to peer pressure, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, because it does happen to us, you know, where we do give in to peer pressure, and we end up doing things that that we know that we shouldn't do. Well, people get us so angry, like you heard the say, "Well, honey, she made me forget my religion."
Yeah,
you know, I mean, or you have people who, you know, will get so angry and curse you out, and then say, "Well, God knows my heart," and it's like, so it's the same type of situation. Is that we have to remember who God is and who we are. And so, yeah, I mean, I hear you. Aaron was under a lot of pressure. He's like, oh,
yes,
boy, I better go along with these people, you know. And that's a lesson for us to learn. That's why these stories are in the Bible. Because,
yes.
right, any one of us could be Aaron in an Aaron situation.
Yep.
And it's like
Kirk,
what do we do?
Kirk was Aaron. I mean, like, he had a thing with his son. So that's a good
example. Yeah, I was going to say, not to cut you off, but Kirk Franklin is
mm-hmm.
going to be on Tamara Hall's show tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Him
yeah.
and his
mm-hmm.
wife, they're going to talk about why he cussed out his son, his 32-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had heard is that his son, I don't know, 32 years old, he had been troubled for a long time. We don't know what he did, but they'll go into more of it tomorrow. If you're available, comes on at 10 a.m.
What channel?
Seven.
Oh, okay.
You.
Seven. Yeah. So, I mean, we're all vulnerable. You know, Kirk Franklin ain't did nothing that... It's because he's, you know, in the limelight, you know, that, you know, people, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. He's supposed to do that. No, we can't judge
he's
him.
Human.
We can pray for him,
exactly.
you know, and pray for ourselves, you know, that we can, you know, stay strong in the Lord.
That's
but
right.
it gets, and it's hard of persecution. If he wasn't a Christian, you think anybody would have anything to say about him?
No,
that's everyday stuff.
Exactly, but because he's a Christian, he's being persecuted. mm-hmm. for cursing out his son.
Because they hold him to a higher standard. They don't expect him to do that. Like I said, that's common. They don't expect him to cuss nobody out.
But we know all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And thank God we can come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for what we do. You know, but we're all a work in progress.
I was just saying that holding us at a higher regard and a higher stature and placing us under so much pressure is kind of we're eating what we dish out as unfortunately many so-called Christians have not taken the beam out of their eyes before telling those around them to remove the mote from theirs. And, you know, people are sensitive to that. And so, you know, people forget that it's not about it's not a superiority complex at all. But to so many people who call themselves Christians, they elevate themselves or they're elevated by their peers. And, of course, you know, you have a bad day, boom. That's it. You've fallen from grace, and there's no getting back up.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really try, with the grace of God, you know, not to give feed or not to give energy, you know, to certain things. Mother, go ahead. Mother, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a question. When you say he cursed them out, did he use bad words or was he just talking?
Yeah, that's cursing, Mother. That's cursing.
I'm sorry?
I said cursing.
He used bad words.
Yes, that's bad words.
Oh, he used bad words.
Yep.
He cursed them out. He cursed them out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to know, you know, was he just telling them off, but he used bad words. Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's such a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he cursed him out in public too?
No, it was a private conversation phone, and his son recorded him in order to put him on blast. I think he put him on Instagram, and
people are
wondering, why can't even record that?
Oh my goodness.
Set up.
So he wanted to show, he probably was so mad he wanted to say, well, I'm going to show you what my father's really like, right?
Right, and I didn't hear the son using profanity.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on that particular part of the conversation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so what I was making reference to is, yes, you're absolutely right about those two times that the Ten Commandments was given because Moses had broke them and he wrote them over again. But what I was particularly talking about, what I was particularly making reference to is when, and you find that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting from verse 1, and what we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, is the new, remember, the new, this is after the 40 years in the wilderness, where we have the new Israelites, right? The ones who are about to cross into the promised land. And this is where the Ten Commandments was repeated again, because these people, you know, these new Israelites, you know, this was a whole new generation, you know, who were coming to love the Lord. And before they went into, you know, so Hilda, can you read that? And it's entitled in my book, The Ten Commandments Repeated.
Deuteronomy 5?
Yeah. And five, you can read one. You don't have to. Yeah, just read 1-5, and because it just repeats the Ten Commandments again. But
okay,
all
right. So
go ahead.
It says Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, "Listen carefully Israel, hear the decrees and the regulations I am giving you today, so you may learn them and obey them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Sinai. The Lord did not make this covenant with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. At the mountain of the Lord spoke to you face to face from the heart of the fire. I stood as an intermediary between you and the Lord, for you were afraid of the fire and did not want to approach the mountain. He spoke to me, and I passed his words on to you. This is what he said.
Right. So he gives the Ten Commandments again to this new generation of Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. So that's what they consider the repeat of the Ten Commandments.
Okay. So I have a question.
Yes.
You're saying this is 40 years later that we got Deuteronomy, which is the second law.
Right.
40 years later.
Okay. This is after, you know,
before
after
the end
all
of the promise
those people died out.
Mm-hmm.
And this next generation, because this is the generation 40 years later that are going to the promised land.
Right.
And did Moses go to the promised land?
No.
No.
He saw it, but he didn't go
nope.
to it.
Right. Did he get to see it at least?
Yes.
Yep.
He saw it, but he
didn't. In the mountain.
He did see it, but he disobeyed God, and he was not allowed to go there. Okay.
What did he
so,
do? What question? What did he do in disobedience?
They needed water, and God told them to speak to the stone to open it. To get the water, and he struck the stone with his staff in anger because the people were just driving him crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
And I just have so
you,
what was wrong with that?
I could see him. Like,
what was wrong with that?
Because he didn't obey God. God told him to speak to the stone, and in
right.
his anger,
so what was
he
wrong
hit.
With that? What was the problem?
Disobedience.
He had an attitude.
He had an attitude.
Right. Disobedience to God.
He said, I give you water. He didn't say God gave you water. He said he gave them water.
Right. That took the emphasis off of God and made it look like he gave water.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
For my glory.
Absolutely good point.
Yeah.
Well, I think too he had an attitude that God was still doing something for the Israelites, and he had an attitude about it. Wonder why, you know, what's going on? You know what I mean? That God is still doing something with the Israelites. So he had an attitude about it.
Because he was still being good to them.
Yeah, because he had an attitude. You don't know why God kept doing, you know what I mean? Because with God, even though God might be angry with you, his hands are still out for you. You know, he still loves you just the same. And so,
but throughout you're right, Mother. He does. He always still loves you too. But you know, God was punishing them. They were getting punished left and right. Okay,
mess around.
What about the snakes? You know,
Moses didn't want to do it again. He just had an attitude about it.
The people got
Moses was tired of them keep on murmuring about this.
Well, that's what
it's like the more God did for them, the less they appreciated what he kept doing.
They didn't like the food. Yeah, they didn't want no more manna.
Yes.
They didn't want no more manna.
They wanted to go back to slavery.
You got us in these wilderness. We better off back in Egypt.
Being enslaved.
Oh, my.
He took you out of slavery.
And manna every day. What's this? Manna every day? Three times a day?
Every day.
Then he turned around and gave them meat. He gave them meat.
And they still complained. Exactly.
Wow.
That reminds me of when the Lord told me to give my brother some sugar, and I had an attitude about it. Give it to him. Give him that sugar.
Oh, my goodness.
Had an attitude.
Yeah. It's like we pray for things. It's like we pray for things, and then when we get it, we complain about it.
Exactly.
You got what you asked for, and now you're complaining about it.
Yep.
Mm. You know something along with that? When we pray, we have to be specific. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You give a general request, mm-hmm. and you'll get what you ask for generally. But if you specify,
mm-hmm.
then there will be less complaining. You have to be specific.
He says that, but people still, no matter what, they still have got to have something to complain about.
That's just human beings.
Some are grateful.
But the other thing about being specific about what you pray for is still. I hear you. And you need to be specific about what you pray for. But sometimes our specification is not God's specification. We don't know sometimes what we need, you know. So God will give us what we need, you know, and it's all within his will. Because we can give a detail, I need this, and it got to have this, and it got to have this, and got to have this. And God can be like, no. That is not what you need. This is what you need, okay?
Yes.
So I try to say, Lord, just give me what's in your will, Lord God. Right. You know what's better for me than I do. Absolutely.
That's true.
You know what's better for me than I do, because I'm a hot mess. So I always say, Lord, let your will be done
in everything that I do and ask for.
Say it again, Hilda.
I said, Lord, let your will be done in everything that I do and ask for. Let your will be done, not mine, but yours.
Well, I tell you, when I sent off for that coat, I didn't say that to God.
Okay, so he gave it to you anyway, huh?
Huh?
He gave it to you anyway.
It was a less expensive coat, and in its place came a more expensive coat, but the green was off color. It wasn't the same green I wanted, and I started complaining. Mm-hmm. I said, "Send me this." I said, "They didn't say why didn't they send me the thing I want?" And he said, "But this coat is better." God told me, he said, "There's a better coat." So he picked out what I want. He picked out the coat. So he said, "No, that ain't. Don't give her that.
You give her nothing." Well, you're right, Mother, because those are the type of things that we tend to be ungrateful about. That ain't what I wanted, Lord.
That's what I said.
I didn't want that.
He provided for us, accepting his will, and I was ungrateful, really. Amen. Okay, so we are going to end right here, but I would just like we should start off trying to read. Because I think the chapters are pretty short. Chapters 1 through 3, when we come when we come back Tuesday.
Hosea?
Hosea, yeah. 1-3. So we get an idea
chapters
of, you know, what Hosea was going through in his adulterous, life, personal life. Because, the first three chapters is basically his personal life and his marriage. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I have the right
okay.
now.
See, I'll read, but when you tell me to do something, then I forget that part.
No, yeah. I'll so I'm trying to stretch job. Your mind.
I know.
Stretch it.
Well. Sometimes the mind stretches, and sometimes he just go all over the place.
So you know that I'm going to ask you the same question again next week. So I hope you all know the answer. What makes Judah special? Let me write this down so I remember.
What you say? What makes
Judah?
What?
Judah.
Or what makes Judah special?
Mm-hmm. Out of all the, you know, the 12. You know, the northern part was taken away, and Judah is the southern part. But the question is, what makes Judah
special? Can I read it? I think it says, why was Judah so special in the days
mm-hmm.
when Israel was taken into captivity?
Mm-hmm.
That's a more direct question. It's because it refers to that
okay.
specific point in time, right?
Well, that's why
it's
kind of
progressive.
Why were they not
taken? It's a progressive question that should point to one person. That's why I'm asking
gotcha.
It this way.
Gotcha.
Right? Because those are the facts. It took them 150 more years to be taken under captivity, you know, because of the good kings that they had. But that in particular, you know, doesn't make them particularly special. It's just a fact. That's a fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do as the northern did. All 20 of the northern kings were horrible kings. You know, they assassinated each one. Each king assassinated the next king and became enraged. You know, they were all horrible kings in the north. And we, you know, as Sister Barbara had reiterated, in the south, in Judah, there were 12 horrible kings and 8 great kings. And that's the reason why they didn't go into captivity as soon as the North did. But the reason why they're special is a whole nother perspective on Judah.
All right.
Okay. And then we also have chapters 1-3 to read in Hosea. Such a sad prophet, Hosea. But, you know, this is, okay, so, and I also told, I gave you all that man, Andrew,
Scurvy.
Yeah, Scurvy, to listen to. So if you want to listen to.
So just type
the
in Alexander Scurvy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, in YouTube.
Stuff, right? So that's why I asked him.
Oh. Well, I really appreciate that. I saved it in my computer now, so.
Yeah, just go to YouTube and put in his name and
put in
the book of the Bible that you're interested in, because I think he does the entire book, but he, you know, is how he reads it, or reads the book. with excitement. But I haven't heard him, so I'm going to be critiquing. I'm just going by other people's words.
What time he
how
comes
they
on?
Love.
It's YouTube.
It's not, he doesn't come on. It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's a segment. You just go and okay. All right.
Yes,
gotcha.
YouTube. And you just bring it
I
up.
I have a question, not about Sturby, but basically to Jake, how do I get Sunday's House of the Lord service? I tried to go to YouTube. It doesn't come up. I put in House of the Lord. I put in stream. What is it? Stream. Mainstreaming.
The key word is online. House of the Lord Online Ministries.
I put that in
right
also,
there.
And it goes back to 2017, but it doesn't have the current show.
Oh.
I just looked at
that's
it
a
Sunday.
Technical thing that I think only Pastor Wiggins can answer.
I mean,
okay.
I just looked at it on Sunday. So let me, I'm putting it in now on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just go regular YouTube.
I looked at it, but because it was on Facebook.
I don't have Facebook.
Wow. Okay, so you go to YouTube.
The Lord Online Ministries.
I usually do it on my phone, too. I see it on my phone, too. Okay.
Yeah, I see it streamed 2 days ago.
Right.
You got it on Facebook?
Yeah.
I mean on YouTube?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just multi-streaming
House
with restream.io.
Say that again.
You go to your, you put the House of the Lord Online Ministries.
Yeah.
And
do I put March the 14th?
No, you don't even have
no,
to.
No, you don't
you
have
just
to put a date.
Hit enter, and it takes you to the latest one.
Okay, I'll try it again. Thank you.
Well, send me a
look
text if you still have
H.
trouble.
It's a H. It's a big H in red. Because,
well,
yeah, this
again?
Is multi. It's a H in red. Because I'm looking at Led by Christian Ministries. Hers is on.
Okay.
My children's program is there.
Yeah, I saw all of that, but I didn't see Sundays.
No, this is all from Sunday.
But I'm saying I didn't see any of Sunday's stuff. I didn't even see the women's ministry from January 31st. Did that come on?
Yeah, that's in there too.
I didn't see that either. Okay, I'll try it.
Sister Barbara, I have a question.
Yes.
Are you using your cell phone or your laptop?
I'm on my phone.
I'm on my phone,
sometimes
too.
Sometimes YouTube gets a little wacky with YouTube
phone?
App. Yeah. You might want to check and see if it's the latest version of YouTube and that your phone's operating system is up to date and all that stuff. You
okay, so if
it.
I can't get it on the phone, I should be able to get it on the laptop?
Yeah, for
sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
thank
you know what
you.
I'm going to do? I'm going to email you the link that'll take
right.
you.
Right. Send it right to her.
Thank you.
Yep.
You got
that's
my address?
Right.
Let's see. Yeah. Diva Amor 22.
Right. At Gmail.
Yeah. At Gmail. Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate
good.
Y'all, too.
Yay. I'm glad that was resolved.
Thank you so much.
So you can find it for yourself. You'll send it.
I'm telling you. I was trying Sunday night. I'm like, where is it?
Yeah.
I saw Penny and the group, you know?
Huh?
I saw Penny in the group singing. I went all the way back to, I think, 2017, but I didn't see March 14th.
Oh, my goodness. Hmm. You went way back. Way back.
Yeah. But when you get a moment, Jay, God, really love you for that. Thank you.
Mother.
Amen.
The moment is now.
Thank you.
That's the mother.
Yep.
Mother Wiggins.
Mother, could you pray us out? Mother, please.
Amen. Praise God. Father God, we just want to thank you for this wonderful lesson that we had today, Father God, and we thank you for our First Lady, Father God, Nadine, Father God, who brought forth a wonderful lesson today, and we thank you that her being led by the Spirit, and we thank you for all that participated in this in this lesson today, Father God, and how interesting it was. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for everything, Father God. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind. We thank you for all your provisions for us, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father God, we just want to let you know how much we love you, we appreciate you, we adore you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, amen. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yay. Thank you, Mother.
Amen.
Praise God. All right, guys. See you next Tuesday.
Okay. Right. Have a blessed one. Love you all.
See you. Are you going to be on tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll see you tomorrow.
I will hear your voice tomorrow.
Well, we always say, so when I say see, that means okay, I'll see you. I won't see you physically, but I'll see you in the spirit. Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Love you all. Good night.
And on that note, we're going to All Belongs to God, my favorite song.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship, all the praise belongs to you. Belong to you.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.